Matthew chapter 18 this morning. We're going to be in verse number 21 in just a moment. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 21. I'm going to start with a story this morning. The story goes like this. J.T. Pace was raised as a sharecropper's son, whose ingenuity and determination eventually enabled him to build a successful life for him and his family. He was raised in extreme poverty. He said he remembered nights going out into the barn and getting the corn meant for the horses and chewing on the hard kernels just to stop the hunger pains in his stomach. Became a successful man. His ability to overcome poverty and prejudice was not the most inspiring aspect of his story, though. For success did not fill the emptiness in his heart, nor did it erase the shame he felt in hiding from loved ones, friends, and acquaintances what he considered a humiliating secret. Though he was a very successful businessman, and though he had come from poverty, though eventually he trusted Christ, through it all, he was 62 years of age and he had never learned to read. He said, "When I became a Christian, I wanted to find out where I came from, what I'm doing on earth, and where I'm going when I leave. It hurt so bad." He said, "I hurt so bad over it and cried for 20 years trying to read the letters of God, and I couldn't read them. After I retired, I came to South Carolina in 1977. He said, "I got so burdened to read the Bible that I went out to the Greenville Literacy Association. I was 62 years old when I went down there. I told them that what I wanted, but I couldn't look them in the face because I was crying. I was ashamed to tell the lady that I couldn't read. When I finally raised my head, she was crying too. She said, 'Sir, I'm going to help you.' It was hard. After I had been working on it for 2 or 3 years, I still couldn't read a sentence. I had such a strong desire in my heart to read the letter God had written to me, the Bible. And I questioned God and I asked Him, 'Why is it that You saved me and You have all of these letters written to me personally and You won't teach me how to read Your writing? Why? I don't know how to live unless You teach me how to read Your letters. I want to live for You, God. I want to obey You.' He said, I began to cry. That night I went to bed and I laid the Word of God across my chest and prayed for God to take my life because I didn't want to live if I couldn't read the Bible. The next morning I woke up about 5 o'clock. I walked in. I sat in my den. I opened my Bible and I've been reading it ever since." He said that it is a miracle that God taught him to read. All of the teaching, for some reason, that day made sense in his mind. God did a miracle, and I could read the Bible. He began then with a burden involved for others who could not read. He started speaking in churches and other groups, sharing his testimony and raising funds for literacy programs. His work soon received wider attention. He received the local Jefferson Award for his literacy work, and as a result, eventually received the National Jefferson Award as well. One day, while he was mowing grass, his wife came to him and said, "Honey, there's someone that wants to talk to you on the telephone." He said, "Who is it?" She said, "It's the wife of the President of the United States." Barbara Bush asked him to join her at the bicentennial celebration of the Constitution of the United States. President George Bush conferred upon him the National Jefferson Award for Literacy as well. At the bicentennial celebration of the Constitution, J.T. Pace, an old man, read the preamble to the Constitution before a crowd of over 80,000 people. I've left out one very important tidbit of that story that I'll share at the end of the message this morning. My goal this morning is to teach you what patience is. Some of us would say, "I know what patience is. It's not killing somebody." That's my definition. That's not quite the Bible definition of patience, though. But truly, my heart is for God to develop in you a biblical and godly and spiritual patience to be able to handle the problems of life. It is impossible to be the right kind of farmer without waiting for the harvest to ripen. A farmer has to wait if he's going to bring in the crop. Similarly, man, I'm having some problems announcing some words this morning. Similarly, Also, it is impossible to be the right kind of parent, husband, wife, teacher, friend, brother or sister in the home, brother or sister in Christ, preacher, worker, or servant without having patience. Luke chapter 21 and verse number 19 says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Look at Matthew chapter 18 this morning, verse number 21. It says this, "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king." So he basically, just continuing the thought here, he answers the question, how many times do I forgive? And he says, therefore. This word keeps popping up in our Bible reading over the last several weeks on Wednesday nights, on Sundays. God's now explaining why or how to, in your mind, be able to think about this matter of forgiveness. He says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When it had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, same words, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, same words, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." This passage of Scripture uses the same exact phrase twice. Have patience with me. One of them owed 10,000 talents. A very, very large sum of money. A rich man left to his servants 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, and that was a big deal. He said that one of his servants owed him 10,000 talents. An insurmountable, what today would equal millions of dollars, and an inability to pay back. And then it says the other servant who was forgiven his debt went out and found somebody that owed him some money, and the man simply owed him 100 pence, just a measly amount of money in that day and age. And the man did not have it, and the servant who was forgiven his debt became a person with impatience. I want to say to you this morning that the Bible says, in your patience, possess your souls. I don't know all that the verse Luke 21:19 means, but I do know it means this. There is a freedom that comes to your soul when you have patience. And there is a bondage that happens to God's people when they have impatience. It possesses our soul. In Hebrews 10:36 it says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Sometimes people want to receive the promises of God, but the Bible says, here's what you need if you're going to receive the promises of God. You're going to have patience. Someone defined patience as this: patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to do something about it. Isn't that a great definition? Patience is not tolerance of sin or evil or wrong, but patience is being willing to wait on God. Patience is a calmness of spirit that trusts God even with the difficulties, trials, troubles, and frustrations of life. Patience is giving God the time to do what only He can, that He can do what you have diligently and faithfully done, what you know to do. Patience is being confronted and not being frustrated. Patience is dealing with immaturity without acting immaturely. Parents, patience is dealing with impatience without becoming impatient. Patience is dealing with anger without becoming angry. Patience is facing evil without developing an evil attitude. Patience is the recognition that God is in control and that being impatient will not speed God up. It will ultimately slow me down. 46 times in your Bible, the word patience or patient appears. It is safe to say that patience is not an elective in God's curriculum. It is required. It is a required course that is foundational to your advancement in many other areas of life. So what happens when we let impatience in? Number one, I would say this. Impatience produces anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Impatience produces anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. In Matthew 18:26, in our text verse this morning, it says, "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." In chapter 18 and verse number 29, the same phrase, "Have patience with me and I will pay thee all." The first one, when it says Lord, is a comparison to God. The second Lord, or the second servant, in verse number 29, that is doing the speaking here, that is coming and demanding that the debt be paid back, is a picture of us. And so we say this morning that it does not take a lot for us to realize that sin in our lives was so great, was so insurmountable, where sin abounded, that would be the definition of us, grace did much more abound. There's not one person here that can earn their salvation. There's not one person here this morning that can get themselves into heaven. And that is why we must, by the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the grace of God that when you believe in His Son Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross, and you believe yourself to be a sinner, and you ask for forgiveness of those sins and ask Christ to save you by His shed blood on that cross, that is what saves us, not being able to pay back 10,000 talents. You can't pay millions of dollars to God. He said, and you would say, "Lord, have patience with me." It is amazing how we want God to have patience with us, but we are not willing to have patience with others. And that is the idea behind this parable that Christ gives to Peter. Peter wants to know, "Lord, I want to keep some track on some things. Some people are really getting on my nerves. How many times do I have to forgive them?" And basically the answer that God gives back to him, that Jesus Christ gives back to Peter, is an innumerable amount. If you could keep track, if one person offends you 490 times, good luck. Not everybody offended me, and I got to count to 49. One person. You got to keep track of every person in your life and how many times they hurt you and how many times you forgive them, 490 times each. Basically, what Christ was saying to Peter is, stop keeping track. You need to have patience with people. Impatient people are people that are usually angry people. If you've ever known somebody that is impatient, they are usually angry. If you see this in this passage, the same servant went out in verse 28 and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Impatience usually produces anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. James chapter 1 and verse number 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." It is not saying it's okay to come to wrath, just get there very slowly. That is not what that verse is saying. What that verse is saying, though, is if you will slow down and you will have some patience, you'll not get to wrath. Because patience will overcome that. Every occurrence in the Scriptures of anger, wrath, indignation, angry, fury, furious, All of these words, every single time it appears in the Scripture, it always refers to God or man. Never a woman. You can check it out. Men, impatience leading to anger is a big problem for us. 52 men in the Scripture were said to be angry. Always God's anger was a righteous anger. Always, every instant in the Scripture, every time, always man's anger was an unrighteous anger. Nice. Kim, you make it so easy to come after you. Yeah, it's true, isn't it, Miss Melissa? She's over there cheering that I'm talking about men being angry. 52 men and two groups of men in the Scriptures were said to be angry men or furious or have indignation. Holmes says, patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. It's seldom found in women, and never found in men. Biblical type patience must be a huge part of our lives if we're going to be productive for God. When I talk about the problem of anger amongst men, it is not something that I'm just making up. We live in a very, very angry day today. The reason we live in a very angry day today is because we are a people of impatience. Impatience and anger are like stepping stones. Impatience is the stepping stone that leads to anger. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, God says He wants us to balance this matter of patience and anger. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, the Bible says that God is not slack. God is not slow. God it's actually, in today's vernacular, it's the word deadbeat. If somebody owes some child support and they do not pay the child support, we call them a deadbeat dad, right? The Bible said God is not a deadbeat dad. God is not slack concerning His promise. He's not slow. He's not a person that doesn't keep His word. But here's what it says, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. I bet you can't imagine what the Greek word for patience is the same word as in the Greek language, the word long-suffering. Patience is long-suffering. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, I know thy works. Christ is speaking to the church here. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. So God is saying there's a balance between being patient and then not tolerating evil. He says, I know your works and thy labor and thy patience. And then He says, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And so the idea there is, we're not talking about giving way to evil and letting people get away with things that are wrong or sinful. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a patience that is godly. We're talking about a patience that waits on God to take care of a situation. It's a patience that doesn't lead you to anger, because when you get to anger, you go to vengeance. And when you go to vengeance, you've taken the place of God. Impatience, I read a quote, if a young man could learn to balance both drive and determination along with patience, he could vastly improve the fruitfulness of his life. Could you imagine if our young men would learn at a young age to be patient? Impatience runs over people. Impatience fails to respect people as equals in the sight of God. Impatience says, I'm more important than you, get out of my way. I can do this better than you, get out of my way. Impatience is rooted in pride. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. See, the Bible says, compares patient to pride. Better is the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You are going to find somebody who is patient, but if you find somebody who is impatient, you will find somebody who is proud. I have found I'll pick on parents here for a second just because it's in my notes. I found the number one problem with parents raising children is not the children. The number one problem with parents raising children is the parents' own impatience and anger with their children. I see the children going, "Yeah, Mom and Dad. Get your impatience and anger under control. I'd be a better kid." I'll have a sermon for you later, Derek Hoffer. Or Derek Moffat, sorry. I saw Lauren Hoffer and Derek Moffat and put Derek Hoffer together. Yeah, but where is Derek? He probably needs it too. Oh, he's back in the sound room. Of course he needs it. All sound men need preaching. The number one problem I found with parents raising their children is this matter of impatience and anger. Parents, please remember these two words, and I kind of alluded to it last week, but it's a patient firmness. It's not letting them get away with whatever they want, but it is a patient firmness. It is the ability to not become an impatient person. John and Charles Wesley's mother, Susanna, had many, many children. Samuel, her husband, said to his wife, "I marvel, Susanna, at your patience. You have told that child the same thing 20 times. Susanna Wesley looked calmly at the child and replied, "Had I spoken the matter only 19 times, I would have lost all of my labor." Psalm 103:13 says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." God is compared to fathers. Fathers are compared to God in this verse, as a father pitieth his children. That word pity is a word that simply means, the word pitieth simply means mercy and compassion. I have found a great test of a person's ability to be a patient person is how they deal with children. I love getting people around children. It tests their patience. Impatience can lead to anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. Number two this morning, impatience proves a lack of true love. Impatience proves a lack of true love. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? I want to show you a verse this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hold your spot there in Matthew 18, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I want to show you a few verses here. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." What is charity? It doesn't tell you there. It just simply says, if I do all this stuff without it. "As though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Verse number 2 doesn't tell you what charity is. It says, if I do all of these things without charity, I am nothing. It says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to the burned, to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." He says, if I do these things without charity, what is charity? He doesn't tell you. And then he says in verse number 4, here's what charity is. Here's what true love is. Love, this charity, this agape love, this love that is a secure love, that is a promising love, that is a trusting love that you can trust in. Charity, the very first definition, charity suffereth long. The very first time in the Scriptures that God tells us what true love, true godly love, true charity, true love in action, if we are going to be people like this, He says, here's what it is, it suffereth long. The very first thing that God says true love is patient. Impatience, I've seen people be impatient with a 5-year-old. The statistics say if you're hard on a child at 5 or 6, in 10 years you're going to have a child who's rebellious. It doesn't matter how kind that child is, or forgiving that child is, or well-behaved that child is, or how smart that child is. in about 10 years, if you are hard on that child and you attack that child's character over and over and you are impatient and angry with them, you can mark it down more times than not in 10 years to 12 years, you're going to be dealing with a rebel on your hands. See, it is not what you say. It is not what you write. It is what you do. The Bible doesn't say charity is one of those things that you've got to tell everybody. He said, if I say this, if I could speak in tongues, if I could lead the world to Christ, if I could heal people, if I could do all of this stuff, and I don't have charity, well then what is charity? What is true love? What's the kind of love that God wants us to have for people? Patient love. Patience. Patience with children. Patience with our spouses, patience with church members, patience with your pastor, patience with the boss, patience with your employees. Charity suffereth long. I promise you that most of the divorces that happen in this country are because people are impatient with one another. The first way that God says to show true love, true Christ-like, God-like love, is to be long-suffering. I saw this in a department store. A young husband was minding the baby while his wife was making a purchase. The baby was wailing on top of its lungs. Not that that has happened to any of us ever in the history of raising children. Aren't you embarrassed when that happens in a store? You just like feel like a bad parent. I never did. When the child was wailing, I was like rebellious. Man. They don't listen to nothing, man. It's a crazy child. Or do like one of these. Hush! Like do it on your hand, like you're smacking them. And people are like, ah! Like, I'll give you something to cry about. And then you get arrested. That's wonderful. The baby was wailing. The father seemed quite unperturbed as he quietly said, "Easy now, Albert. Control yourself. Keep calm." Another wail went out. Wah! Now, Albert, he murmured, "Keep your temper." A woman passed by, remarked, she said, "I must congratulate you, sir. You seem to know just how to speak to a baby." He said, "Baby, nothing. I am Albert." Parents, listen to this. Everybody that deals with people in any aspect, listen to this. Angry words in just one moment oft bring forth a flood of tears. And the wounds that they have created may live on for months and years. I think of relationship things. I see these boyfriends and girlfriends. And listen, I am for crushes. I am for liking people. My daughters have crushes. I get it. I understand those things. Yes, that's my daughter over there. And she is boy crazy. It's a natural thing. I'm 100% for it. When she swoons at somebody that's on the television, I don't mind. They are millions of miles away, and it doesn't. She'll never see them, and it's okay. When she says, "Oh," one of my daughters the other day said, "He is so dreamy," and I'm like, "I am entering a different part of parenting here. This is of child rearing. What? No, there's no book that says what to do when your child says someone's dreamy." And but I don't mind it. I don't mind crushes. I don't mind these liking this person or that person. But I am concerned at the younger and younger age I'm watching people become boyfriends and girlfriends. And all that is impatience. Because the reason that the Bible says you leave your father and mother is to cleave to a wife. The reason that you get into a relationship with the opposite sex is not for friendship. The Bible says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. We can all have friends. But when we go to the opposite sex, and it is a natural thing that we are attracted to the opposite sex, all that we're doing when we have relationships before the ability to be married, before the ability to be stable, to be the financially stable, to be maturity stable, to be emotionally stable, to be mentally stable, and all those things of taking care of another person in your life, some people just aren't there yet, but yet they want to have a relationship with the opposite sex. Again, I'm not against the opposite sex liking each other. I'm for those things. I think it is natural. I think Romans chapter 1 speaks to that. What happens when we push young people into unnatural things? I think that is a dangerous thing. But when it happens naturally, that I believe that somebody ought to be stable. Somebody ought to be a Christian that they ought to be. I don't think somebody gets in a relationship so somebody else can make them the Christian they should be. I think there has to be a maturity level there, a financial stability there, a mental and emotional capacity there to be able to step into that part of life. And all that happens is this 14-year-old and 15-year-old and 16-year-old, this devastation of hearts and devastations of minds and emotions that happen all along the way in this impatience of relationships. Romans chapter 5 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." God says, there's something that I'm going to bring along in your life, and it is called tribulation. And the reason I allow things like that to happen in your life is because I want it to form patience in your life. I can't believe how many people try to push the tribulations of life away. He says, and patience, he says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He says there that if you want experience and you want hope and you want if you want to not be ashamed and you want to have confidence in your life, then you're going to have to go through the tribulations, because tribulations work patience. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 4 says, "If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed." I'm not sure that's the verse I was looking for. 2 Corinthians 6:4. Put the wrong one down there. 2 Corinthians 6:4 says, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses." It says, in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. How? Many people want to go in afflictions, in necessities, in distress. No. He says, in approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience. Colossians 1:11, "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." 2 Thessalonians 1:4, "So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." The Bible so many times has so many lists, and it is amazing how many times in those lists that God includes in the Scriptures, how many times He includes this matter of patience. James chapter 1 and verse number 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh" what? Patience. "But let patience have her perfect work," or her completing work, her maturing work, "that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." God says, I'm going to try your faith. I'm going to bring stubborn children into your life. Listen, I'm going to bring hard-to-handle employees sometimes. I'm going to bring church members that need nurturing and that need some babysitting and need some counseling and need some extra attention. I'm going to bring those things into your life. I'm going to bring financial situations to you. I'm going to bring health situations to you. I'm going to bring work situations and all of these things. Why? Because the Bible says that the trying of your faith will work patience. And patience, if it has its perfect work, He says in the end you'll want nothing. Isn't it amazing? God says to be totally satisfied in life, you must first have patience. And patience keeps people from spiritual maturity. I can tell you this, impatience increases trials in your life. He says that the trying of your faith, He says that these things increase if we don't have patience. It works patience. And if you are an impatient person by nature, guess what? God is going to keep on hitting the tribulation button in your life. It is not that He's ever going to stop those tribulations, because you have got to work on patience. Number one, impatience produces anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Quickly, impatience proves a lack of true love. And number three, impatience stops the production of godly fruit. Impatience stops the production of godly fruit. In Luke chapter 8 and verse number 15, it says, "But that on good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." The Bible says we're supposed to bring forth fruit with patience. And if we don't have patience, we're going to not have fruit. The fruit of giving. Let's quickly touch on this, but sometimes people have a hard time giving in the church. They have a hard time giving back to the Lord something that God has blessed them with, and they have trouble with that. And sometimes I say these things, and people are like, really? How do people have a hard time? People have a hard time giving. People have a hard time trusting God and obeying God and trusting God enough to give. And the reason is they'll try it or they'll want God to make their life easier if they give. That's just impatience. If you're going to have the gift of holiness, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of praise, the fruit of thankfulness, the fruit of souls, it's going to take patience. Winning a soul takes patience. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. A seed does not grow without patience, without nurture, without watering, without sunshine. If you want a seed to grow, you have got to be patient with it. It would be silly for us to go outside and put a piece of corn in the ground and start yelling at the ground. What is wrong with you? I need some corn right now! Let's go! They would put you in the loony bin. But that's what we do. We sow seeds into our children's lives and we want them to get it right now. We preach one sermon and we want the church members to get it right now. We tell our children one time how to do something and they're supposed to just get it. Bosses say it with their employees. It's a matter of impatience. Impatience stops the production of godly fruit. In Western Africa, it's 14 years before one convert was received into the church. Could you imagine working for 14 years for one convert? I know you're not a missionary in West Africa, so that means nothing to you. I'm a pastor. I couldn't imagine working 14 years. I've been in this church 14 years. I cannot imagine that the first week in July would be the first time somebody ever got saved in this church. That's what happened in Western Africa. In East Africa, it was 10 years. In New Zealand, when it was open to the gospel, it was 9 years before the first baptism. In Tahiti, it was 16 years before the first convert. William Carey labored 7 years before the first Hindu convert was baptized. In Burma, Adoniram Judson toiled 7 years before he had one convert. One time he wrote England these words, "Beg the churches to have patience. If a ship were here to carry me to any part of the world, I would not leave my field. Tell the brethren success is as certain as the promise of a faithful God that made it." It takes patience to see fruit for our labor. In 1853, a denominational mission society discussed closing a station in Angola, India, because only 10 converts had been won to Christ in 15 years. They made up a single church, which some called the Lone Star of India. Samuel Smith, the author of the song, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee," was a member of that mission board. As he contemplated the matter in 1853 of possibly closing that mission, called the Lone Star Mission, he wrote the following poem. "Shine on, Lone Star. In grief and tears, in sad reverses, you're often baptized. Shine on amid thy founder's fears. Lone stars in heaven are not despised." The next day, he read that poem to his colleagues on the mission board, and when he did, they unanimously voted to continue the work. Because of that decision, God moved with mighty power, and 30 years later, the Angola church had grown to 15,000 members. You have to have patience. We're at that point in our church where I'm seeing new converts and we're seeing folks join the church and I'm excited about the growth that God has given us. But listen, it's been 11 years. It's been 11 years of faithfulness. And if you just take it all the way back to the beginning, it's been 55 years of faithfulness for God in this place to be here this morning, to be in this service this morning, to have what we have and to do what we do and to see what we see. It's taken 55 years. You're going to have to learn patience. And if God's people have to learn patience in the things of God, it'd be good for us as God's people in every area of our life to start working on the matter of patience. So let me give you seven things really quick. if you are writing, you're going to have to write really quick. How do I get patience? Number one, seek and pray for the skill of patience. Seek and pray for the skill of patience. 1 Timothy 6:11 says it this way, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." He said, Timothy, if you are going to be the man of God that you're going to be, you're going to have to follow after. You're going to have to learn the skill of patience. It does not come naturally. What comes naturally? Anger comes naturally. Short-temperedness comes naturally. Wanting to, my favorite word lately is wanting to throat punch somebody. Saw that the other day. I want to just reach out and just, pah! Yeah. Every once in a while, he just wants to throat punch somebody. That's not what the Bible says. If we're going to see fruit for God, if we're going to see God work, if we're going to see God move, if we're going to see God raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be able to see fruit for our labor, we're going to have to follow after the skill and pray for the skill of patience. Number two, learn from your trials. Don't repeat bad things. Learn from your trials. Romans 5:3 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Hey, I'm going through this. Lord, I'm paying very close attention because I would like to not have this happen again. They did a thing one time. I saw the path that the Israelites followed in the 40 years of wilderness wandering. They backtracked a lot. I do not want that in my life. Tribulation worketh patience. Learn from your trials. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Number three, model your life after those who have patience. Model your life after those who have patience. Find somebody who's a patient person. Not somebody who's introverted. That's not patience. That's just a patient person that will secretly kill you. An impatient person that's just quiet about killing you. They just slip in when you're sleeping and kill you. Extroverts like me, we just do it out in the open and slice you up, man, and just be done with you. I'm not talking about introverted people. I'm not talking about shy people. I want to be like so-and-so. They're really shy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about patient people. People who can handle the trip. You see tribulation coming to life, they absorb it, they learn from it, and they're a patient person. Their response is one of love and long-suffering. Find those kind of people and model your life after them. Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Listen, God says there's people that we should be following, and we should follow them through faith and patience. Find the people that are patient, model your life after those. Number four, study the lives of great Bible characters that were patient. James 5:10 says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." Bible says there are people in the Bible. What's one of the reasons you should study your Bible? I mean, this is like the 90th reason you should study your Bible. But one of the reasons you should study your Bible is the Bible says there are people in there that you can learn that went through afflictions. And the Bible says they were patient. Examples of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So learn from great Bible characters. Study the lives of great Bible characters. Number five, read the book of Job often. About once every other month, I find myself in the book of Job. And just on a whole different level, I am not Job. I would never claim to even close to Job. But I deal with some health issues and things in my life that I think sometimes are just going to break me. And I need to have patience with it and let it have its perfect work. Let God work whatever He's doing in that moment. And I find myself in the book of Job often. James 5:11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." So the Bible shows us that we can learn a lot from reading Job and studying Job. You've heard of the patience of Job. See how he went through all that. Read it often. Number six, yield and be filled with the Holy Spirit and His fruit. Yield and be filled with the Holy Spirit and his fruit. The Bible gives us a very clear direction in these points. Every point. Sometimes I hear people give practical things and they don't give Bible with it. These are practical things that are founded in Scripture about patience. Yield and be filled with the Spirit and his fruit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Can anybody tell me the next one? Long-suffering. The same exact Greek word, patience. In the English language, we all have like, we have 20 words for everything. In the Greek language, the same Greek word is translated four different ways. One of them is long-suffering, one of them is patience. Yield and be filled with the Holy Spirit and His fruit of patience. Galatians 5:22. And number seven, make yourself accountable to someone. Make yourself accountable to someone. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhort one another. Be accountable to somebody. Assemble together with somebody. Make sure that somebody is a person you can be accountable to in this matter of impatience or patience as it is. I told you I was going to tell you the story of J.T. Pace, and we're going to be dismissed here in just a moment, but the story continues and says he spent his childhood in South Carolina picking cotton to help his family survive. They were sharecroppers. Of course, he said, we were poor people. We had nothing. I remember the nights going out in the barn and getting the corn meant for the horses and chewing on hard kernels just to stop the hunger pains. On top of that, I was puny. I suffered with asthma and I had speech problems. I couldn't talk right. I wanted to go to school. I wanted to learn. He said, I tried going to school once. But I stuttered so badly, I couldn't recite my ABCs. The teacher didn't understand, and he hit me with a switch. I ran out of the schoolhouse, and I never went back. In the words of J.T. Pace, the impatience of that teacher kept me in darkness of ignorance for almost 60 more years. Can I just ask you a question? What is your impatience? What is your impatience? I'm not talking about you got somebody in your mind right now saying, oh yeah, I hope so-and-so's listening. Man, I'm going to send them three DVDs of this. I'm telling you what, I'm going to give them a subscription to that live stream online thing because they need to be hearing this. I'm talking about what is your impatience doing to those around you. I'm not talking about, I hope my husband is listening today. I'm asking you what your impatience is doing. Is it going to send somebody into a lifetime of rebellion? Send somebody into a lifetime of heartache? Send somebody into a lifetime of discouragement and defeat? The Bible says, when we assemble together, when people are together, when your family's together, you ought to be exhorting one another. You ought to be encouraging. You ought to be lifting up firm patience. You ought to be being a person that is agape with your love. You should be with the charity. You should be proving your love at all times. How do I prove my love? Charity is suffers long. It's patient. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Why? I am not bringing you the merits of your children. I know some of your children. You know my children. I am not sitting here and saying, let's look at the resume of your child, how wonderful they are. I'm saying to you today, the reason we are to be patient is because we have a God who is long-suffering to usward. And there's not a person in here that doesn't want God to be patient with them when you're about to lash out at somebody and hurt somebody with your words. I'm not just talking about the kids. I'm not just talking about, that is a very Christ-like kind of love, the way we treat children. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me. And one pastor says he even took the babies into his arms. What a great example he was how to treat children. But I'm saying with everybody, you have a God that is long-suffering.